I came here one year greatly burdened with my sins, and the Lord gave me a glimpse of Christ and really changed my life forever. And that was really the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. And I believe it until I stand before Him face to face, it will be the greatest thing. And I hope for every soul here, I hope that that happens for you. I hope God's grace finds you and that you find grace in the eyes of the Lord and you behold the King in His beauty. And you will see Him face to face in peace one day when you die. Also, the second greatest blessing, I met my wife here. And we dated here and fell in love here. And so I really have a lot invested in the camp. And camp itself is really nothing in and of itself. But it is God in this place. And it is what God has done in the lives and hearts of His people here that have made it a unique and a mountaintop experience for a lot of us. And so I just want to express that, how thankful that I am to be here this year and how much I have enjoyed it so far. The Lord really put it on my heart to have the theme of camp this year be to be putting God first. I see it as such a paramount issue in our day. For my generation, and especially for the generations following after me, I really feel like the generation that went before us, I feel like that in a large part, they really turned away from the world. And they put their sweat and their blood and their tears into the kingdom of God, and really God honored that in amazing ways in their generation, and I just want to give them a hand. I want to clap for them. Would y'all help? Amen. And I'm so thankful for that, because I can look around, I can look in this audience tonight, and I can see so many of the men and women who went before, who really had a vision in their lives for putting God first, for seeking first the kingdom of God, not just giving lip service to it, but making real and powerful sacrifices personally, financially, with their time, with their talents, with their labor. And God has honored that in amazing ways. And I know that if any of them stood up here, they would just say, like God's people have always said, we're just God's unprofitable servants. We did what was our duty to do. And so, but what I feel like that so many in my generation, and I see it also happening in the generation to come, is that there is a desire in our hearts to serve God and to love God, but yet there is this great pull. There is this great gravity towards the status quo, or towards serving God in an easy manner, and not really stretching ourselves, not really pursuing and following hard after Christ, but to kind of rest on some laurels. So anyway, as I was preaching this year at our church, I've done a series of messages on purity. And one of the subjects that I chose was about having a purity of spirit. And I got to studying about Joshua and about Caleb, and about how the scripture says that they wholly followed the Lord, and about how that they had a purity of spirit about them, and just about how God honored them and their lives and their testimony and their commitment, not only in their own generation, which they didn't have a lot of success there, but in the generations to come, they did. And God really rained down and opened up the windows of heaven and rained down blessings upon them that they could hardly even contain. And so that's who I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you mainly about Caleb and about Joshua some as well. But the title of our message tonight is Having a Purity of Spirit. A Purity of Spirit. Now, if you have your Bible this evening, I would invite you to turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14, and here there's a lot of things going on in Numbers chapter 14. It's one of those pivotal chapters in the Old Testament, a real turning point, a real crux of things of ultimate significance that is going to affect the lives of many. And Joshua and Caleb, in the first part of the chapter, they have pleaded and they have urged the people of God not to balk at the promises of God. Here they were after their time in the wilderness, and they had come across the Jordan, and they were ready to go in and inherit all the things that God had promised. And they balked. They became afraid. They began to despair. There was a spirit of negativity that began to prevail among the people. And so they began to urge the people and beg the people and implore the people not to turn away from following God. And the people got so mad that they picked up stones, and they were really going to even stone these great men of God. And so Moses, this great type of Christ, he begins to intercede for the people of God, because it made God so angry that God actually said, I'm going to just destroy these people. And Moses, I'm going to bring up a new people out of you. And Moses, such a meek and wonderful heart. You know, if I'd have been Moses, I'd been saying, well, God, whatever you want to do, you know, you're sovereign, and I'm kind of sick of these people anyway. You know, they've only murmured and complained ever since I delivered them out of Egypt. And so, Lord, you know, you're God. Just do whatever seems right to you. But, you know, hallelujah, his heart wasn't that way. And he began to intercede and said, God, please don't do this. And let's pick up, just for context, in Numbers 14, let's pick up in verse 18. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. Is that good news? Anybody say amen?
Amen.
But by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And oh, the power of this, and how we ought to intercede for those that we know that are lost, and ask that God would forgive them for their sins. What a great example, what a great impetus there is here in this passage for us to do that. For the Lord says in this, he says, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. That's pretty powerful right there. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring unto the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. And that's just pretty amazing right there. If you think about all the men that were included there, I forget exactly what it was. I can't remember if it was 40 years and younger. I believe of all the men of that generation, only two men went in and inherited the land that God had promised that generation. Even Moses didn't even get to go, but had to be led up into Mount Pisgah and was able to view it before he died. And God buried Moses himself. But even Moses wasn't allowed to go into the promised land because, you know, he had struck the rock in the wilderness when God told him to speak to the rock. And he got angry at the people of God. And so now he says of all that generation, their carcasses are going to die in the wilderness, but Caleb and Joshua are going to be able to enter it in after these 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. I love verse 24 here, and this is the theme of our message, and it's really the Holy Spirit did a good job in sermon building in this verse because it's divided up into four parts. We see here, we want to focus in now on Caleb, this unique character in the Old Testament. It says four things about him. I want you to notice them. And what we're going to talk about these and the purity of spirit that he had. And this is what we want. What we want in this, we want a vision for our life tonight. We want a vision for our children and for our grandchildren and for those that come after them. He said that Caleb had another spirit with him. That's the first thing. He had another spirit. Secondly, it says that he had followed me fully. That's where we got the theme for camp. Putting God first, following God fully. Then the third thing it says that he would bring him into the land whereunto he went. And then the fourth thing he said that his seed shall possess it. All right. So the Holy Spirit did a good job there, didn't he, Brother Jimmy? Just giving our four-part sermon right there without us even having to add any alliteration to it or any work. All right, so we need, number one, if you're taking notes tonight, we need the purity of another spirit. It said about Caleb that there was something different about Caleb and there was something different about Joshua. They saw things differently than the rest of the spies, didn't they? They were part of this group that was sent into the land of Canaan to spy out the land. And they came back and all the rest of the spies said that they couldn't do it. There was in among them a spirit of negativity, a spirit of despair. They had Job's wife disease, I call it, you know. Let's just curse God and die. You know, it's all too much. Our enemies are too great. Well, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but we're in a great crossroads here in America for the future of this country and of this nation. And we're at a tipping point of where as we go forward, we can continue to go the way of the rest of the nations that have turned away from God and be turned into hell, or we can return unto the Lord and have a great revival and great return of the blessings of God. I prefer the latter rather than the former myself. But it's going to take a people. It's going to take a generation that has another spirit, that have a purity of spirit, a generation who will seek the Lord, who will put God first, who will wholly follow the Lord, who will go against the negativity and despair of their day and say, the Lord is with us. Amen. Let us go up at once and possess the land. Amen. Oh, the other spy said, the cities are too high. The walls of Jericho to them looked like that they were up into the heaven. They said, there's giants in the land and we're just grasshoppers in their eyes. You know, I'll confess, sometimes I feel that way. When I see the prevailing darkness that is around us, when I think about what my children and my grandchildren might face as it seems that America continues to spit in the face of a sovereign God, and we see the corruption of our culture and the demise of our government, and we see the weakness and the anemicness even of the Church of the Living God, and we feel in our own selves so much of faults and failings. It is an incredible opportunity that lies before us. There's mountains to claim. But Caleb was a mountain-claiming man. You know, when he was finally, I think it was 80, 85, when he finally made it back after he buried all of his friends in the wilderness, you know, how many times do you think Joshua and Caleb were pallbearers, you know? They probably were sick of funeral services because I imagine there was one almost every day in the 40 years in the wilderness. And so Caleb said, now I'm 85 years old, and he says, I'm as strong today as I was when we went back into the wilderness. And he said, give me this mountain, the mountain of Hebron, the mountain where the most fierce and gigantic people in the land of Canaan were. He said, that's where I want to go fight, and that's the land that I want for my children and my seed and my grandchildren. This is a powerful man. This is a man that had another spirit. This wasn't a man who made excuses, you know, and blamed others for his faltering or the faults of the nation. So you're going to have another spirit, a spirit that goes against negativity and despair. Let's go to, let's flip the page, Numbers 13 and verse 30. Here's this man with another spirit. Can you be this kind of person among your peers? When everybody else says that we can't, can you be the one that says we can? Here in Numbers chapter 13, it says, listen to his spirit. And Caleb, verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. He just didn't think that they were just going to get by. He believed in overwhelming success with God. You know, that's what I want to experience in my life, in our little church at Providence. I want to know what overwhelming success in the gospel and as a minister and as a church body and as a community of believers. I'm glad for the mercy drops, but oh, for the showers we plead. I'll tell you, Caleb and Joshua wanted it all. And they were ready. They were ready. They had a spirit. They had a very willing spirit. We need people that have a willing spirit. Go with me to the book of Exodus. And we see that this generation had it at once. But somewhere along the line, they lost it. Oh, he said, did you remember when you were holiness to the Lord? Remember that time in your life when you were just on fire for God? The love of Christ inflamed your heart. And yet slowly by slowly, the world creeps in and the flesh, the flesh is strong. If something has to be killed every day, That's something that's very strong. You know, because we try to mortify the flesh every single day, and then it resurrects itself. The next day it has to be killed again. That's something that's very strong to overcome. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And Joshua and Caleb knew this. And so God's people, at once they really had the willing spirit when they were called upon to sacrifice, to give for the building of the tabernacle. Many of you remember this story. Moses called out to the people of God. He said, God has given me this great pattern in the Mount Sinai of this tabernacle, of this place of worship. And he said, now I need everybody to give sacrificially so that all these things can be built for the glory of God. If you're there in Exodus 33, look with me there. This is so powerful. I hope this happens in my church one day. I hope my deacons get up and say, Brother Nathan, people are just giving so much. We're going to have to, you know, try to tell them, you know, just kind of hold back on the giving. Because, you know, they're just giving so much. Exodus 35, look at this. Exodus 35 and verse 21. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up. And remember, we're talking about the purity of a spirit and what kind of spirit that is. It's a willing spirit. This is in everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle and of the congregation and for all his service and for the holy garments. And if you read on in that story, it says that they gave so much that Moses then finally said, look, you know, it's just overflowing. you've given, you know, way more than enough. I tell you, that's a people that had a willing spirit. What happened to them? Oh, they got scared. They were willing to go up to a certain point, but then they balked, and negativity and despair crept in among them. Well, if you're going to have another spirit, remember I said about Caleb. Caleb was going to be able to go into the promised land and inherit because said, "Accept my servant Caleb," because he had another spirit with him. That's the kind of spirit that I want. That's the kind of spirit that we need. It was a willing spirit. It was a committed spirit as well. I love what David said in the Psalms. Turn with me there. Psalm 31. Psalm 31. Oh, David was a man after God's own heart, wasn't he? David was a man who wanted all of God. He wanted to be consumed with God. Here in Psalm 31, not only a spirit of willingness, but a spirit of commitment. I tell you, I want to propose to you that Joshua and Caleb were all in. They wasn't willing just to wade into the shallow waters of the blessings and promises of God. They wanted to dive deep. They wanted to know the depths of it. They wanted everything that God had promised them that they could have. And they believed in that every foot, every place where their foot would tread, God would give it to them in victory and honor. David also, Psalm 31 and verse 5, he says, "Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." David said our spirits must be committed. We can't be half in and half out. Also, we need a fervent spirit. Go with me to Romans 12. I love the language here as well, Romans 12. A very fervent spirit is needed. Romans 12 and verse 11. He says, he's making some recommendations to them. He said, "Don't be slothful in business, but fervent in spirit," what? "Serving the Lord." God said about Caleb, there was just something different about Caleb. And Joshua, they had another spirit, a purity of spirit, a spirit of faith, and one that feared the Lord, a spirit that was in submission to God. They wanted God to reign over them. They wanted God to rule over them. They were in submission to the Word of God. They said, whatever God says, whatever thus saith the Lord, that's what they made the prerogative in their life. They were submission to the Word of God. They were submission to the will of God. Even when it was hard for them. You know, if I'd been Joshua and Caleb, I would have said, "I'm not going back in the wilderness. God, I honored you. I said, let's go up and take the land. Why do I have to go back and suffer with all these people in the wilderness for 40 years? Are you kidding me?" Oh, but they had another spirit, didn't they? They had a willing spirit, a committed spirit. And they had a fervent spirit because even in the 40 years of the wilderness, their desire for the promises of God, their desire to go in and do battle for God, it only rose in intensity and desire. You know, you would think after those 40 years of wandering around that they would have been cast down, that they would have despaired and say, "You know what, this is never going to happen for us." But they were so fervent in spirit serving the Lord. And they were in submission to the will of God and to the wisdom of God. They believed that God knew what was best. Well, if you're going to have another spirit, that's the way that your life is going to have to be. You're going to have to be in submission to the Word of God. You're not going to be able to say, "Well, I know God's word says this, but I need to do this." It can't be that way. You're going to have to be in submission to the word of God as Caleb and Joshua were. Amen. All right, the second thing, we need to move on, don't we? They had the purity of another spirit. But then the second thing, back in our text in Numbers 14, he says this about him. And this is such a high commendation from God. Oh, that this could be said about us in some small part, as it was said about him. He said he had another spirit with him, and it said, secondly, that he hath followed me fully. So we need the purity of a following fully spirit. You know, most people are willing to follow God when it doesn't inconvenience them. When it doesn't really strain the pocketbook, when it doesn't disrupt the continuity of their life, when they're not asked to kind of come out of their comfort zone, you know, we're okay with serving God and putting God first. But how about for Joshua and Caleb? It wasn't that way for them. They said, we're going to follow God fully to the nth degree. We're going to do whatever it takes. We're going to do whatever God asks of me. Oh, we've seen men like this, and these kind of men and women have walked among us as well. You know, we'll be leaving for Africa on the 16th of July, and it'll be so sad this time because we won't have Brother Floyd Tyson with us, except I know he'll be with us in spirit. But this was a man who was retired. This was a man who had children and grandchildren. He could have just gone on Easy Street and said, hey, I'm just going to coast into heaven. But no, last year he was with us, had the dirt of Africa on him, his sweat. He was coughing the whole time. He thought he had allergies, but the cancer was eating him up. But he was with us. What was he doing? He was following the Lord fully. Amen. He said, I'm not gonna coast in. Brother Floyd went to heaven a shouting. Brothers, he hung his shield up on the hall of faith with honor and with God, as Caleb and Joshua did when their days were done. Joshua 14. Let's look at here. They followed God fully. And this was said of them many times. Joshua 14. Turn with me there and look at 14 and 15. Here's a little bit later in the story than where we've been. Joshua 14. This is later in the story as they've made it through those 40 tough years. I can't imagine them. But here in verse 14 and 15. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he what? He wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjatharbar, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, who were the giants of the land, and the land had rest from war. There it is again, this wholly following the Lord. And this is what I love about Caleb and about Joshua, is that they wholly followed the Lord, and they stuck with the people of God and with God through good times and through bad. And they wholly followed the Lord, and they did it without dividing the people of God. That's powerful. They didn't break up churches. They didn't say, hey, Caleb and Joshua, let's take our families and let's go do our own thing because we're the only ones who really got it and we're the only ones who really believe God. They did it without dividing. They did it without dissembling. They did it without disputing with God about how things fell out to them in the providence of their lives. And I love this, they did it without declining. I don't know how they did that. But it was a passion in them. It was a single-mindedness and a devotion that they didn't let the 40 years in the wilderness let their vision dim, but only they must have every year only 39 more years, Joshua. You know, hey, it's only 30 more years, Caleb. Hey, it's only 20 more. Next year, Joshua, we'll be there. We'll be there. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it just built like a fire in them, like a raging inferno in them. And rather than get depleted, their spirit was willing to follow. When you follow fully, you'll follow when all others will not. I mean, they were brave. Listen, it's hard to go against the status quo, isn't it? Man, it's so easy to blend in and become a chameleon Christian. You know, a closet Christian. You know, it's so easy to just kind of do the right things, say the right things, but to really be totally on fire for God and fully in and following God fully, you know, you make yourself a target for Satan. Because he hates these kind of people. You know, Satan was in all this, by the way. He's the one that begins all the negativity and all the despair and all the "hath God said" and "will God really help you?" If you really go out on a limb with God, is He really going to be there for you when you need Him? But I tell you, Caleb, he had a following fully spirit. And let me tell you how he followed. He followed hard. You know, David said in the Psalms, "My soul followeth hard after thee, O God." That's what we need out of some young people. We need some young people who follow hard after Christ, who followed righteousness, who follow faith. Remember in Hebrews 13:7 it says, "Whose faith follow." Well, those of you that have come before us and set such good examples, that's one of the things. I don't want to let y'all down as y'all begin to smell the portals of heaven and immortal glory, as you begin to enter into everlasting rest and see God in peace, and as you toss the baton and hand the baton off to us, I want you to know that the banner of Christ is going to go forward. And then we're gonna try to do what you showed us to do and go up one. May God bless us. May it bless it to be so. May it be like they said of Saul and David, "Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s." May we take up the mantle as Elisha did from Elijah. He said, "Give me a double portion of thy spirit." A spirit that refuses, this following fully spirit, a spirit that refuses to make excuses. I get so tired as a pastor of hearing excuses. You know, why we're not at church. Why we can't give. You know, why we can't this and why we can't that. And then, if it's not the excuses game, it's the blaming others game. If I'm not stepping on any toes right here, man, I'm really doing a bad job. There should be a lot of ouches out there. But the person that followed fully, they all their excuses, they lay at the foot of the cross and leave them there. And say, "All my excuses in here, and I'm not going to blame anybody else for why I'm not following God with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind." So, here Caleb is. He's the one that's going to go to the promised land. He's the one that God commends of all his generation. He said, God said, this man had another spirit about him. He said that he had a spirit that followed me fully. But notice, key back in now to our text. This is beautiful. He says, "Him will I bring into the land." And the last part is the key, "where and to he went." I tell you, talk is cheap. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The Bible says the talking of the lips tendeth only to penury, to poverty. Everybody has good intentions. Oh, how many good intentions lay murdered among us tonight. Everybody wishes that their church was this way, or that their family or that their marriage was this way or that way. But my dear brothers and sisters, and so everybody wished that they were in the promised land. But I tell you, there was a man that went there. There was two that went. Those that had another spirit, those that followed fully. He said, "I will bring him into the land wherein he went." So here in our third point, not only a purity of another spirit, a purity of a following fully spirit, but we need the purity of a willingness to go spirit. A willingness to go. Joshua 14. Let's go back and look again and find out what made these men tick. And Joshua and Caleb, they had their faults too, I'm sure. I'm sure that they were men of like passions just like us. Oh, their wives nagged at them. Why can't you just be like everybody else? Why you gotta always make a stand out? It almost got you killed last time. Keep your mouth shut. Right? I imagine there was some of that going on. Why do you always gotta be the one speaking up? You see, he had a spirit that knew the possibilities that God with us provides. And he was willing to go. Here in Joshua 14, a little bit. Listen to this, 11, 12. I mean, we're talking about an 85-year-old man. We're talking about like a brother called you in here. 85 years old, he said, "Yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. And as my strength was then, even so my strength now." For war! Man, he wasn't talking about going in there and playing tiddlywinks and jacks.
Oh, amen.
But he was talking about strapping on the armor, his helmet, his spear. He was ready to go. He said, "For war, both to go out." I told you he had a willingness to go and to come in. He said, "I'm going to get them going and coming, boys. Now therefore, give me this mountain." Oh, there's a mountain of blessings for y'all's generation in heaven. There's a mountain of blessings. And God is just waiting. He is just waiting for y'all to prove God that you'll put Him first, and He'll open the windows of heaven and He'll pour out a blessing on y'all that y'all won't even be able to contain.
Amen.
Do you believe it tonight?
Amen.
Do you believe it? Joshua believed it.
Amen.
And 40 years in the wilderness didn't dim his vision for it.
Amen.
I want to see revival so bad I can taste it. I beg for God for revival for the last 10 years, every day of my life. And I want to see it before I die. I want to see it. Not so I can say I was a part of it. But so like that God said here, that His glory would fill the earth. I want to see darkness. I want to see Satan rebuked. I want to see righteousness exalt this nation again.
Amen.
I want to see the church rise in her ancient power.
Amen. Amen.
I want to see men and women on fire for God. I want to see a difference in the church and the world.
Amen.
So did Caleb. He said, "Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain," wherever the Lord spake in that day. "For thou heardest in the day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced." Listen to what he believed. Why he was so willing to go. "If so be the Lord," capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, "will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out." Would I say that he was in submission to? To the Word of God. "As saith the Lord." The victory's ours. We won't get up and play the game. We won't sit on the bench. But life and the kingdom is not a spectator sport. Sometimes you fall down and you skin your knees. Sometimes you fumble the ball out of bounds, but you don't quit. You get up and you play. And the thing about what God requires is faithfulness. Not quitting, not stopping. Because everywhere your foot will go, that will be yours. That will be yours. That is the promise of God.
Amen.
"Go bound," as Paul said he did. "I go bound in the Spirit." "Go to the lost," as Christ said. "Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." "Go up," as Isaiah said, "into the mountain of the Lord." This is a spirit, a willingness to go spirit, that is not afraid of giants, that is not afraid of walled cities, that is not afraid of death. A spirit like Isaiah had, when the Lord appeared to him in His glory, and the cherubims cried, "Holy, holy, holy," and he fell down as dead. And God said, "Who will go for us?" And Isaiah didn't start looking around. Well, you know, who's it going to be? And we said, Lord, here am I. Here am I. Send me. You know, I wonder sometimes, who's going to go to Africa when I'm dead? Who's going to go to the other nations? I hope there's some Calebs and Joshuas among us.
Yeah.
Those that will say, they said, let us go up at once. We are able. That was the willingness. He said, I'll give it to the possession for where he went. And now he claimed the promises of God. Lastly, let's go to our fourth point. We've talked about another spirit that he had, a following fully spirit, a willingness to go spirit. Well, lastly, we need the purity of a blessing possessing spirit. I'm talking about like Jacob of old, who wrestled with the Lord at the brook. You remember he wrestled with him all night. And the Lord said, the day's about to break, you need to let me go. And Jacob said, I won't let you go until you bless me. The Lord touched him even in his thigh so that he walked with a limp the rest of his life. But he said, I won't let you go until you bless me. And the Lord blessed him. He changed his name from Jacob, which was trickster, supplanter, heel grabber, you know, his brother when he was coming out of the womb, to Israel, Prince with God. He said, because you have wrestled with God and prevailed. Caleb was that kind of man. Even if it takes 40 years, the passion only grows in him. Joshua 14 and 9, you don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. It's the only one there that we haven't read. Joshua 14 and 9, I wanted to read them at different places. Because now he says, verse 9 and 10 of Joshua. He says, and Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. He said, Caleb, you put me first. And now you put me first. And I'm going to put you first. Hallelujah. You know why God wanted David to be king? Because God was David's king. She said, my Lord, said to my Lord, sit thou here at thy right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. See, they had a blessing possessing spirit. We make unthinkable exchanges in our life. The temporary instead of the eternal. I asked the young kids who would trade me a $100 bill for 25 cents. None of them took me up on it. I said, that's an unthinkable exchange, isn't it? Well, think about Canaan, the land that flowed with milk and honey, the land where Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph were buried to 40 years in the wilderness because they got scared and bought and listened to bad advice and took their eyes off the Lord. An unthinkable exchange. We need a blessing possessing spirit. We need a spirit that has a single-minded devotion to the prize that is the glory of Christ. A spirit also, you see, Caleb and Joshua did not only impact their generation, but they impacted the generations to come. You know, I want my life to impact not only my generation, which I pray God that I have been a servant to my generation and I've never lifted my sword against my brethren, but I hope like Joseph that my bow abode in strength. And I did never use it against my brethren, but I saved it for the enemy. I want to be like, Brother Jimmy, I want to be like Elisha. That even after he died, you know, they put him in his sepulcher and the Midianites threw a body down in there. When it touched the bones of Elisha, he came back alive. Man, you talk about having impact after you're dead. His bones still full of the power of God. A spirit that wrestles with God and prevails and brings blessings down from heaven, even if he's wounded in the process, because is that not Christ, our Lord? He led captivity captive. He ascended up on high, victorious over sin, death, hell, and the grave, and our arch enemy, Satan. He crushed his head with his cross as he bruised his heel. Oh, but it cost him. But even though he was wounded in the process, he said, and he gave gifts to men. Joshua says, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. As he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, when the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now lo, I'm this day 85 years old. He had a good memory, didn't he? And you see, in our text, as I would like to close, and I hope this has meant something to somebody. I really pray that it has. In our text, you see, he said, I'll bring him into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. See, it went beyond Joshua, it went beyond Caleb. And that's what I desire too. I want it to go beyond me. And mind, you know, we were talking about one of the kings, I think, was it Hezekiah who said, well, as long as it's good in my day, fooey on the rest, it's okay. Terrible spirit, you know, great king, kind of blew it there at the end. He invites the kings of Babylon in to see all of his treasures. They're like, yeah, write that down, that's going in my house. You know? But Caleb not only possessed it for himself, but he gave it to his children and his children's children. And it says his seed shall possess it. So I pray that the Lord would give us a purity of spirit. And a spirit, and I pray that I want that for myself so much that I would put God first, because God is first. We don't even put Him first. He is first. Just like we don't make Him Lord, He is Lord. He is first. So let He who is first be first.